thank you for downloading or streaming today's episode of the PW Torch Livecast. In just a couple minutes, we'll get you to the show. But first, I want to let you know about our big $1 VIP sale. If you have not become a PW Torch VIP member, this is the best time of year to do it. We are running our $1 sale in association with it being SummerSlam month. We are creating a SummerSlam special section on the PW Torch VIP website that will feature links to our SummerSlam reports dating back to when the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter started in the late 1980s through this year's. We're also creating a collection of our post-SummerSlam pay-per-view roundtables dating back to the mid-2000s. The last dozen SummerSlams have been covered with post-pay-per-view roundtables since we launched the PW Torch VIP website in the mid-2000s, and you can subscribe to that feed on your smartphone and listen to what we had to say the night of SummerSlam for the last dozen years. And you can subscribe to it exclusively as a VIP member on your smartphone or in iTunes. Just like all VIP audio, you can subscribe on your iPhone, Android, or through iTunes, or stream it directly from our ad-free VIP website, which is mobile-friendly and desktop-friendly. You also get everything else that comes with a VIP membership, ad-free access to our website, exclusive articles, the new weekly Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter chronicling wrestling history in depth, the biggest stories, the biggest events, obscure house show results, TV reports, exclusive columns, cover stories, and so much more. 1,500 plus back issues dating back to the late 1980s. Also, in the month of July, we posted over 130 podcasts for our VIP members. The live casts are great. They're even better when the commercials are edited out. And that's a bonus for VIP members. The commercials are edited out of the PW Torch live casts, and they're available for your convenience on our VIP audio feed, in addition to VIP exclusive shows that only VIP members listen to. I host The Fix with Todd Martin midweek for about 2 hours, and the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show on weekends for about 2 hours. The two top wrestling analysts in the business are part of PW Torch VIP every week. I also record the Wade Keller Hotline every single day. I've recorded it every single day for 8 years. No days off. You wake up, and there it is, the Wade Keller Hotline with the latest breaking news, my answers to VIP member questions, and every Monday night and Tuesday night, a detailed rundown with my analysis of both Raw and SmackDown. So much more comes with the VIP membership. Get full details at pwtorch.com/govip. And the coupon code for our sale is livecast2017. No space, lowercase, livecast2017. Enter that in the promo code box on our mobile-friendly sign-up form, and you are in for $1 for one full month. Or you can take that $9 discount and apply it to a three-month or a one-year subscription. That means that a $99 subscription for 1 year gets dropped down to $90, which equates to paying just on average $7.50 a month for the next year. If you are a fan of our work here on the PW Torch Livecast and my new show, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast over at Podcast One, you will love the PW Torch VIP audio lineup. So go VIP for $1 or take $9 off a longer-term subscription. This offer expires soon. Don't miss out. pwtorch.com/govip. Enter promo code LiveCast2017. That's LiveCast2017. No space in there. LiveCast2017. We'd love to have you as a member. We'd love to earn your business for the long run. Find out what people love about their PW Torch VIP membership and get more of what you love in terms of pro wrestling podcasts brought to you by the team at Pro Wrestling Torch. I am not Jim Valley, I am Wade Keller, and I am here to introduce a very special edition of Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley. Jim is on the road this week, and so I'm back here in the livecast chair to introduce this week's special episode, which is a vintage interview from Jim Valley's Total Chaos radio show on Guy Talk 1010 AM back in 2001. Jim did a wrestling radio show called Total Chaos Radio during the Attitude Era, and this interview is of the controversial Tom Zink. I had a chance to see Tom Zink in his formative years wrestle on the Minnesota independent scene. I got introduced to him taking great bumps from Road Warrior Hawk on AWA television. He was one of those opponents who you hoped maybe would get a little bit of offense in against the Road Warriors before they destroyed. Usually Tom's opponent would get pinned. And then Tom went on to be a member of the Can-Am Connection for a short stint for a very promising tag team. Had a run in WCW where it looked like he might be a big star. And then he ended up, many years later, being known for some provocative blogs that he would write on WWF and pro wrestling in general. Jim Valley had a chance to interview him for about 45 minutes back on his year-end edition on December 29th, 2001. And Tom talks about what wrestling was like at that moment in time. It was a big change going on in the industry with the state of competition or lack thereof in the wrestling industry with ECW and WCW and the WWF going public and all kinds of things happening. So Tom Zink and Jim kind of do a year in review and a look ahead to 2002. And you will want to check this out. So this is Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley and Tom Zink. Here we go.
And we're back. It's Total Chaos Radio. Jim Valley, the show at its new time from 3 until 5 each and every Saturday here on KGuy 1010 AM. And one of the highlights of the year for me, you got to understand, I mean, we've had some pretty cool stuff on the show this year. Ric Flair and Roddy Piper on the show together, that was tremendous. We've talked to Triple H, Kurt Angle, Mick Foley a couple of times, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Kurt Hennig, and there's so many other people. The list just goes on and on and on. And one of the guests that sticks out in everybody's mind is a former champion in WCW. He's a former Pacific Northwest heavyweight champion, and he now lives in Minnesota. You know him, you love him. The Z-Man, Tom Zink. Tom, what's going on, man?
Oh, yeah. You had the Z-Man on before me. Ooh, Macho Man.
Well, Jim Valley, I thought you forgot about me. How are you?
Oh, nobody can forget about you, man.
I can't either.
That's a good thing. So how has 2001 been for Tom Zink?
Listen, baby, this was the year that wrestling was rationalized downside, and I haven't heard from Vinny, baby.
Dusty's pretty pissed off about that, isn't he?
And he's got a right.
What?
I'd have Dusty with a beanie cap on you, and I'd have multicolored Hogan in the back, sitting in the back seat as a bully. I'd have the barber. I'd have all the old-timers, the Iron Sheik, like a human cartoon, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, and he's worried. He doesn't have material. He has a monopoly. The rules have changed, don't you think, Jim, or am I nuts?
I think the rules have completely changed. I think they're going to be even rewritten even more in 2002.
Yeah, and in your backyard, they have Buddy Rose, they have Roddy Piper, and Billy Jack. They all seem to rise to the top in the WWF. Don't you think Vince owes them something? Of course they'd want to contribute, right? What's the problem?
Well, I know Billy Jack tried to contact Vince this year.
Yeah, but Vince has a big ego. It should have had the edge taken off him after he failed how many times this year with the XFL? I mean, they failed their corporate mission. It was to grow and enhance the, you know, a multimedia corporation. Come on, he's got $250 million sitting there looking at him going, huh? I can't grow the business other than what Daddy gave me. He hasn't grown his business. Come on, Vince. You know, I hope you don't have stock in the WWF.
No.
I mean, this is too much. What's his problem?
I have no idea. I mean,
he has access to every piece of talent he puts his kids on.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's about respect. Have his son referee some matches and take his shirt off. Let's see what you got. You know, I mean, poor Dynamite Kid and Superstar Billy Graham, they made this guy a lot of money. They have no 401ks. I mean, come on. Let's grow your business. You know, he's a multimedia corporation. They have a human resources department. Why don't they do something for the boys? And the boys put up with it? Come on. They're better than that. Ask Piper.
What do you think about that? I mean, he had the biggest money-making angle potentially in history when he finally bought WCW, his dream. I mean, you can't tell me in 1985, when Vince made that first step with WrestleMania, that, you know, even before then, probably 83, 82, that, you know, his goal wasn't to own everything.
Yeah.
And when he finally gets his hands on everything, I mean, this has been brewing every day of this man's life for 15, 20 years. He finally gets it, and they scrap it after 6 months.
Jim Valley, I never wrestled you, but you got it down. You're darn right. He blew it. He choked. So what does that tell you?
I think it tells us we're in for trouble in 2002.
I think so, too, unless he smartens up. There's a lot of guys out there that made him money, and he never took care of his own kind. He almost threw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? I mean, he almost killed his own child, all right? So he hit out after a while. That really must have taken a toll on Vince McMahon because, well, he looks a lot better now that he got the Rikishi deal, you know, the facial. He put the new meaning on facial, and he looks a lot better to me. So does JR, and he talks better, too. I really like that. Keep that coming. No, that was kind of sick. But anyway, I mean, what's the problem with this guy? I mean, okay, forget about it. Do the right thing now. I mean, you know, learn some respect, Vince. Hey, I'm sorry. You missed out on the ride in the 80s and stuff. You weren't hip, you know, so you're on the gas now, whatever. It's over. You're in your 50s. Your best years are gone. I mean, it's over for him. But he should do the right thing by the guys that made him a lot of money. There's a lot of guys with great minds out there that contribute. And the egos, no, no, no.
Now, you talked about Dusty playing the flounder role. But realistically, do you think Dusty could contribute in the office in the World Wrestling Federation?
I didn't say the office. You know, you give him a little run as just being around. You want to cross over to the Y generation. So you want the parents to bring him to the arenas or, you know, create a bond with a family thing. It's a family thing. So you bring all the old-timers back. You have something on the card. You make it more diverse for everyone. And you build it. And then you have... you know, you go on tour, whatever you got to do. Dusty, he could, you know, ride in a pickup truck, put his, you know, a fifth wheel, you know, travel like that across the country. The Dream Incorporated, they did a bus for Luger, you know, take his little carnival act. That's what they are. They're carnies, you know. Vince McMahon, the Connecticut carny. He's searching for something. He hasn't found it yet. This is the way to do it.
We're talking with the one and only Tom Zenk, the Z-Man. He's at his palatial estate in Minnesota. Now, one of the things, and you know what you're talking about makes a lot of sense as far as bringing back some of the older guys.
I'd go and see it.
There's some people who are rolling their eyes right now who don't understand that one of the biggest stories covered in the Wrestling Observer, and we can talk about it here in Portland because I got the ratings here for Portland, is that people watching wrestling right now, by and large, are guys 18 to 24, and that's it. You've lost about 6 million people over the age of 30 watching wrestling.
Plus the people in the South, that's wrestling. It's a different audience, right?
Right.
So they failed their mission completely. I mean, he was exposed that he's not the genius. There was always something worse than him, or, you know, their production is fantastic.
Right.
He made some really poor choices, and, you know, there's one target now. All eyes are on him. And it's easy to be critical, but, I mean, if he was a better man or whatever, you know, there's a better way to do it than what he's doing right now, and I don't see that he's got a chance, you know, putting his kids back on TV. Now, with Triple H coming back, and if he signed Kevin Nash, right?
Right.
You know, he always pays back. He has a lot of fun with a lot of guys, you know. Now he's got Flair in the ring. That's pretty quick, so it's a quick burn time. He's just building towards WrestleMania. Because he lost so much money. They got to have a good run now to close out the year, don't you think?
That's what we were talking about before you got your psychic, Tom. We talked about the fact
that
everybody, you know, people were talking about, oh, God, the Flair promo was great. The Flair promo was great this week.
Yep.
But what they didn't catch was that Flair kissed Vince McMahon's ass saying that all along I knew the NWA was better.
Yep.
Or the
WWF
was better than the NWA. All those years... I was carrying the 10 pounds of gold, and I was the kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding. I knew the WWF was better.
Yeah.
And Kevin Nash will do the same thing, and when Hulk Hogan comes in, he'll do the same thing, and everybody will come in, and they will kiss the ring of Vince McMahon and rewrite that history like Vince loves to do.
Yeah, but isn't he just naive? He's just a working mark. He's a mark for himself. Big Shot, you know, the king with no clothes.
Yep.
So I always found those kind of guys with the big egos were the easiest ones to work. You know, it's just a con. I mean, smoke and mirrors, it's wrestling, you know, lying, and Dusty did the wrong thing, Watts did the wrong thing. I mean, there's a pattern. Doesn't anyone see it, or they just don't talk about it? You know, the big ego got McMahon nowhere. He paid all these football players. He didn't have any that drew him nothing. They cost him money. Doesn't any of the boys question him on that, or the guys that are supposedly the locker room lawyers or the leaders? I mean, come on. He's been exposed. He didn't do anything for the guys. He paid these football players and staff. He's probably still paying them. He's failed at everything he's done, and he's treated the wrestlers the worst, like cattle. I mean,
yep.
That's no way to treat people.
Speaking of the way you treat wrestlers, I'm sure you probably saw this a couple of weeks ago. It made a lot of internet headlines. Billy Silverman, WCW referee, worked for the WWF after the buyout, left after some hazing and stuff like that. What's your take as far as the Billy Silverman controversy and locker room hazing?
Well, Dave Meltzer said everyone missed the point. Hebner's kid needed a job, so he was the one to go. I suppose they let the ribbing go on. I mean, yeah, I got ribbed. I used to rib a lot of people. I did a lot of bad things, you know, ribs or stuff. Like the Flair with this Rolex watch. I don't want to hold your watch. I'm not a mark for you. I mean, you know, Pillman and I used to rib him unmercifully, and he probably didn't even know it. When he was out in bars, you know, he used to say we were married. We used to tell other girls, or, oh, who's that, or so he wouldn't get attention, that he was gay. It played both ways. He said we were gay. I mean, you know, the boys rib each other. It's just different subtle ways, you know.
But what about as far, I mean, ribbing is one thing, but do you think this is a different kind of ribbing, like it has a punishment, as opposed to just not liking somebody?
That's pretty good. You pin me down. Okay, I'll answer the question.
There you go.
Very good. That's a good interviewer. One of the agents of the company, I'm sure, heard about it or was on the plane. So in the kind of multimedia company they want to portray it to be, or the McMahon family, that's what he described it when I was there in 87. It's a family. It's bigger than the NFL. Someone should have known, or, I mean, we're in the year 2000. You don't do that to people. You don't pick on them or tape them up or whatever. That's uncalled for. And I've never seen anything like they did to him. And, no. I mean, ribs went on, but nothing
right.
Like that. Humiliation. This kind of crossed it.
And while I'm no expert on it.
I'm no expert on it, but, yeah, I've never seen that.
And while, I mean, I'm sure it happens. I mean, anytime you get athletes around, guys are going to be guys. I mean,
yeah.
Any sort. I mean, ribs probably happen in baseball and in football and probably everywhere. But, again, you got to be careful so it doesn't cross that line.
Yeah, it really does with a publicly owned company. I don't think they've grown in some areas they really need to. If this kind of stuff, it's like, oh, man, and they knew about it, or just it's hearsay or what I've seen on the net. It's like, oh, man, that's bad.
Especially, yeah, when you're supposed to be Fortune 500 and you're not wrestling, you're sports entertainment, and a lot of that stuff carries back to the old wrestling tradition.
Yeah,
inventing
it does.
Wrestling.
It's not carnival anymore. But some of the people are. Vince, Connecticut Carney, you know, I mean, yeah. He's the kind of guy that you'd see at the midway at the fair with the biggest animals, biggest stuffed animals that you couldn't win, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Ring tosser, the penny on a plate, or, you know, he'd have the biggest animals. That's the kind of guy he is.
We're talking to the one and only Tom Zenk. If you want to dial up and chew the fat with the Z-Man, 503-722-9000 or 888-388-1150. Brand new numbers, Total Chaos Radio here at our brand new time. So, 2001, they put together the whole WCW thing. It falls apart. Was it mainly just due to egos or incompetence?
I think basically a lot of guys in the wrestling business makes you insecure. You know, they feed you the BS that you're a star on TV and you get to be popular or recognized. And I think that's the first time a lot of these guys got noticed in their life. And so they get the attention. I think the ego builds from there. That's why Vince always gets back on TV. That's why Stephanie, they're all marked for TV, being on TV. It's like a drug. They want to get on there. They want to be popular. They got to get that figured out.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Do you think any... What about this upcoming split?
It's not going to work. Come on. I mean, Linda said this, what, since the summertime, that there's going to be a split, two things, and have two streams. They can't even do one pay-per-view a month, much less two.
Right.
And brands, didn't they fumble the ball in the WCW brand? That just, she hasn't come through on any promises at all. I mean, I don't know how people can own that stock. I would go for something a little bit more secure, but wow.
Yeah, I'd probably trade my WWF stock for Enron at this point.
Oh. Well, aren't they under investigation?
Who knows? Enron, yeah, they're under complete. The whole thing went in the tank.
It's well, just like WWF, someone out of Baltimore, isn't there a class action suit?
Yeah, there's some crazy thing like
that. Yeah, so it's like, wow.
Yeah, I don't see. In my opinion, I think part of the problem really started with the lack of continuity and storylines and stuff when they decided to go to two shows, SmackDown and Raw, and use the same writing team and the same the same creative team. And the bookers and the agents and everybody, the same staff, to run two shows.
I know, but look at this. I've heard, I know him, I worked for him, I thought he was cheap. So I've heard stuff or read stuff on the internet that said he doesn't want to pay.
Right.
Terry Taylor said the same thing. He doesn't want to pay someone six figures, just, a suit to come in there. He doesn't respect them or he hasn't paid his dues, whatever. But how do the soaps do it? They have compelling storylines.
Right.
They push people's butt. Hello? He doesn't want to pay? I mean, come on, Vince.
Yep.
And you plant corn, you get corn, right?
And I think he's overworking the people that he has right now.
Yeah, and he's a workaholic, but I can outwork him real easy.
I mean,
he's lost in confusion or he's made some really bad decisions. They haven't grown in a year. His company, he almost lost it. It was pretty bad. Wrestling stopped being cool. It's a joke, but at least he's got a good humor about that. He's the butt of the joke. They've got to be laughing at him, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is there anything that can happen in 2002 that can get wrestling in the industry to grow again?
Sure. Use everyone to your advantage. That's what I do. Everyone. Piper, everyone. This WWA or this is nothing. These guys are just marks like the AWF. If someone's going to throw money at you, sure, they're going to go after the big names. They're going to take the money. Vince could just whack them all. There's no competition. No one's going to take off. He's got a monopoly. He knows that. You should just use everyone to his advantage. That's what I would do.
Now, from what I understand, the WWA is pretty much just like sold shows to European promoters and overseas promoters to make money.
Yeah, so they con these other overseas guys and they get a sucker and they do business like the circus, right?
Yep.
Sucker's born every minute, and that's the way it kind of pretty much works from my understanding.
It's my understanding they're paying pretty good money for about 75 dates for 2002, and that's a pretty good workload for a lot of wrestlers. Make decent money and have a lot of time off.
You follow stuff at the Rose Garden or sports? I mean, look what the baseball players and the basketball players get. I mean, what does Vince pay off? I read it in Meltzer's sheet or on the internet. He pays on, 10 to 13% or 15% of the gate or whatever? Probably based, my contract was based on the net profit. So you get first count if you're Vince.
Right.
Yeah, the boys don't have it too good. If they stop and realize what they got and what they don't have, It's a tough business being an independent contractor, but I think they took some money out of Turner's pocket on a class action. I think $5 million was the figure.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they haven't got Vince yet.
You never know. What do you think about the possibility of Turner maybe getting back into the wrestling business?
Nope. It's done. You have to con someone or get someone with TV. That's what's important in Portland. When I was there, you know that.
Yep.
It's the lifeblood. Young talent and a change. People like change every 2 or 3 years. You have a little run and then you build yourself up, you build yourself down. They should get that formula. They used to talk about Vince's formula. He doesn't have the formula, and he's been exposed for it. Or he took his eye off the ball. He surrounded himself. When I was there in 87, yes, man. Jack Lanza, Pat Patterson, Rene Goulet, they had the French connection there. I used to work up in Montreal. Martel, he was pretty loyal. They didn't have much for him, right?
Yeah, what's Martel doing these days,
I have no idea. I haven't talked to him since I quit. He and Jack Lanza came out to my house, and they talked me into coming back and doing a job for the Islanders or something and just finished the story, but I haven't heard from them.
I hear you. We're talking with Tom Zank. You want to dial out and chat with the Z-Man, 503-722-9000, 888-388-1150. Just talking about the year that was and looking ahead to the year 2002 as far as wrestling goes. It didn't look like it's going to be that bright of a future as far as the World Wrestling Federation. What about the group out of Florida with Piper, the XWF.
I wouldn't think that's going to go anywhere. That's the one Hogan's playing with, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not going to go anywhere. That's why he's not signed. They don't have the money, and he's just playing both ends against the middle. He's craving to go back, you know, putting it on his kid that he wants to go back to the WWF. You know, his son told him to go back. Well, he's a man. He should decide for himself, right?
Oh, I'm sure he's just saying that just to look like the good guy.
Yeah, you know, come on. He just recently got, what, on that ESPN deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was baiting them, talked about every, you know, he's pretty clever, but, you know, Vince knows. Why do they have bad history? You know, why do they have bad history? Piper, Macho Man, why'd they all leave? Because Vince was cheap?
Yep.
Or what? You know, yeah, that's so, yeah, the monopoly now, it's going to really change things.
You want to talk about young talent. What young talent do you think should be moved up to that next level right now you're seeing on WWF? Who could get the fans' interest going again?
Well, I really have no idea what goes on. You have to know the inside politics of the personalities. I think that's a main thing. And the agents should be able to spot talent. So they've just done something with Chris Jericho. I mean, you feed a fire, right? You know, someone that people cheer for, Rob Van Dam, obviously, you know, what they put out about people or the rap on them. They manipulate people. And when you manipulate, you conceal things.
Well, I had talked to Mick Foley earlier this year. He talked a lot about that. And he said, you know, why do you have guys like Tommy Dreamer and Raven and just incredible guys who have main evented for ECW? Why are they sitting in a chair at a pay-per-view as opposed to being on the pay-per-view? And why do you have a guy like Diamond Dallas Page who under, you know, his self-high-five, you know, his bang persona in WCW, why do you come in and give him a major overhaul in the WWF when that seemed to work fine in WCW?
Puts people in their place, take the edge off them. But Dallas Page, he's a very nice guy, but he's a goof. You know, he's just a stroke. He played the game or he worked Bischoff. But he got Bischoff into WCW by giving Jim Herd a tape of himself from the AWA. So Eric kind of looked the part, played the game, talked their talk with the suit, and manipulated his way in, and he always took care of Paige. As you notice, the pyrotechnics that Paige comes out, the timing, the cameraman, he could manipulate all that. He learned from Dusty. So they're two of a kind, and, you know, that's where he learned it from. He was a mark for himself. But he got a reality check in the WWF, or they wanted to take the edge off him. Or they want to, Vince's ego, just the WWF is good product. No one's really shined there. He hasn't gotten Sting, and I know he's got, you know, the money to buy him or whatever. I mean, they're going to manipulate and control the pay structure. He'll be back on top, but it's a good thing Jericho, Benoit's going to come back, Triple H. They got a healthy crew. They're going to have a good run, I would think, towards WrestleMania. But I hope they have better storylines.
Yeah, you think it'll be Hogan and Vince maybe at WrestleMania?
Yeah, I hope so.
I'm sure.
I would hope so. Bring them all back.
Yeah.
He should be smart, yeah. He should bring, yeah. You know, I hope he's not missing the boat on this. He should have a heck of a run. He can pick anyone he wants. They're all begging for work.
We're talking with the Z-Man, Tom Zank. You can dial up 503-722-9000, 888-388-1150. You know, Tom, for Christmas, I got an RF shoot video with Missy Hyatt in it.
Yeah.
And you know Missy.
Yeah, I know her real well.
I know you do.
A lot of fun to be with.
One of the questions that the guy from RF Video asked was, you know, who's one guy, Missy, you didn't tag that you wish you would have tagged? And she listed you.
Really?
Yep.
My goodness. Boy, that girl. Yeah, she's a lot of fun to be with. She's quite a gal. She got a book. I read her book. I didn't know she had been with so many guys.
You didn't know that?
No.
Really? Was that well concealed?
I turned a blind eye to it. No, it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Unbelievable. Yeah, see, now that's the other side that people want to find out about wrestling, but, there's really a lot behind the scenes. That's what I say about the locker room and different things. It's a strange business, but Vince should have a heck of a run.
How dirty do you think is the wrestling business right now? Do you think it's cleaned up more, or is it just same old, same old?
Well, I don't know. He's having problems, you know, with the World WWF.com, right?
Yeah.
I would just world with the, over in Europe, the Wildlife Foundation or something, right?
Yeah, the World Wildlife Fund.
I'll give him a little clue. Make it www.wwwwackyworldwrestling. That would be most descriptive of it. Because that's what it is. You know, it's just a wacky world. How did they miss the boat? How do they put that stuff out about Rob Van Dam? How do they, you know, lose money? I don't know. He's got access to everyone. It's a wacky, wacky world there.
You see Triple H is coming back and being the master manipulator that he is?
Well, of course, he's got it all set up. I mean, you know, his old lady supposedly has been off TV. coming back after the holidays are over. People are settled back into their simple little routine, and all eyes will be on them. They're looking for a new year, start the new year off right. You know, they've had a lot of hype. They don't build people like that. Just like you said, like DDP, they had nothing for him, you know. And then once they know his personality, you know, they just pick up on that real fast, and they just have fun with him. I would have liked to have seen DDP up there when Dynamite Kid. That's the stuff I long for. He'd have ribbed him unmercifully.
Talk about it a little bit. You were back there with Dynamite Kid back in the day.
Yeah. He was a lot of fun to hang around. They ribbed people like crazy, you know, Fuji, Harley Race. I mean, they were really enjoyable people to be around because it was boring on the road. A lot of downtime at the airport, you know, hurry up and wait, sit around for a flight, then you missed some luggage, then you had to rent a car and go to the town, then you'd be at the restaurant or the hotel. So you spent a lot of time hanging around different guys. So there was a lot of downtime waiting for TV. You'd have to be there early. So Dynamite Kid used to sneak around and rib people. You know, he was good with the super glue. You know, he'd cut off shorts, give people Bermuda shorts in the wintertime. You know, yeah, he was just a lot of fun.
Punched holes in Fuji's hats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gave him a shot. He thought it was B12 one time, and they injected him with testosterone, and I guess he was walking around with wood all week. So, you know, that guy, you know, the vibration riding in the car would just say, oh, wood. So Fuji was, he was, no, no, no. No, he didn't want nothing to do with those guys.
Sure.
But it was funny.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, Dennis the Menace. That's what I used to think of him, you know. I mean, Kurt Hennig was the same way. He liked to rib people a lot, and he was out in Portland. Maybe they picked it up out in Portland there, the Pacific Northwest. I don't know, but they were both in that territory, and they had a lot of fun. And Kurt and I used to rib people. We used to lock master locks on their rent-a-cars. The boys, though, you know, on the ornaments, hood ornaments and stuff like that, it clanked down the road. Nobody ribs the Road Warriors. We just sat there, huh? You know, we had a lot of fun with the boys.
So what, the Road Warriors didn't take too kindly to that stuff?
Well, I guess someone did. It clipped something on their car, a couple, two, three. Yeah, no, they were insulted. Big egos, right?
Sure. I hear you.
It was a good rib, though.
Well, that's good. 503-722-9000, 888-388-1150. Talking with the one and only Z-Man. Have you read Dave Meltzer's book, Tributes?
No, and he's so cheap. He didn't even send me a copy. That really hurts my feeling.
Man, what is he thinking?
I don't know. Yeah, have you?
Yeah, I read it. It was pretty good. I was
really
going to ask your thoughts on it. Yeah, it's probably best wrestling book out there right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not just putting them over.
No.
You get a free copy or something? Or what?
It's real honest and everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. But yeah, it's about all the dead guys, right?
Yeah, but there's Andre's in it, Brian's in it,
yep.
Owen's in it.
Yeah, how about Rude?
Rude's in it.
I just drove by his dad's bar, and I was going to stop in and have a beer on Lowry Avenue, where my dad's store used to be, just down the block, Rude's Pub on Lowry. And I was just thinking about that. What did he say about Rude?
Just talked about a lot of things I didn't know about, as far as, you know, I didn't realize how tough Ravishing Rick Rude was.
Oh, yeah, he was a tough nut, yeah.
And, you know, you just talked about, you know, one of the bouncers. You know,
yep.
Being one of the Minnesota guys.
Grandma B's, yeah.
And, yeah, exactly. Talk about that. Just talk about how at first he wasn't that great of a worker. Really had to be carried quite a bit.
Yep.
And then, you know, eventually, you know, 92, he's, you know, best in the world.
Yep.
And just talk about how, you know, he tried to get bulked up and everything, but could never get that main event program with Hulk Hogan because of his lean frame. That was one thing, you know, as a fan back in the day, one of the things I always wondered is, you know, why wasn't Rick Rude, you know, fighting those main events? Because to me, he was a main event guy.
I don't know. That's, you know, just it's probably just how you manipulate and how you play the game, or if you say the right things like Flair did on national TV, he'll be held accountable for that, or he should be. You know what I mean? Just playing along or feeding his ego. Rude threw back a check the one time he wrestled, the last time I talked to him, or one of the last times. He said he threw back a check at McMahon and said it was like for $50,000 or $75,000 for the WrestleMania that he wrestled Hellwig, right, the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
And he said he got $300,000 or $250,000, some nice round figure. He had a sharper pencil for his check. And he said he threw it back. He says, if you need the money that bad, he says, a heel leads a match and this guy can't work. And I don't know, he went home or something like that. He took a stand towards him. And, you know, he buzzed him about being on the gas, too, when he wanted to have kids. So, yeah, Vince, yeah, he plays a tough game.
Let's talk a little bit about Ric Flair. And why is it that so many people back in the day hated Ric Flair, and so many people, Jim Herd, Dusty, Bischoff and stuff? What is the deal with Flair? What's the vendetta there?
He's like me. He rubs people the wrong way. You know, I mean, Ric Flair. So anything he doesn't want to be held accountable for. You know, well, I'm Ric Flair. He'll look you in the eye, lie to you, swear on his wife and kids, and listen, well, I'm Ric Flair. I mean, Pillman and I used to laugh about it. We've seen it millions of times. Even Joey Maggs hung around. He's a lot of fun to be around because he's always creating a commotion or a stir. Someone with 30 years on top on TV, they recognize him. So he creates a stir in every bar, and he throws around money like it's nothing, and that's why he'll end up broke. And Vince probably knows that, too. But it's good for the boys. They're being around. It's like a party all the time. It's a lot of action.
A lot of action, but
oh, yeah.
You can't always trust him.
Well, no. Now, how many times did he book in WCW? He just failed to do the right thing. You know, I mean, David Flair, he doesn't have much talent. Okay? Sorry. He's no Ric Flair. I think Pritchard said it best. And they'll bring him in, so they'll burn that candle out real quick with Flair and the kid. He should get him in, wrestle with his son. That's what I would guess they do. You know? I mean, it's a natural if he's wrestling Flair already at Survivor Series or something, right?
Right. Royal Rumble, it's going to be McMahon and Flair.
Yeah. So when's that?
It's coming up next month.
Mm-hmm. So then you put David in after that, and then you go into WrestleMania, or... You know what I'm saying? He can go over, beat everyone, feed his ego, and be the guy that his dad didn't want him to be. That's what I would think is going on. His dad didn't want him ever to be on TV. You know, I would be content to be a multimillionaire and be behind the scenes and run it from a telephone. You know?
I was talking with Meltzer about that. I mean, there's really no big name that has ever, said, okay, I'm done, and retired from the business.
Yeah, they're marks. I've said that, I think, a couple of years ago. Guys get marks for their character or marks for the business. We all love it because we all know how easy it is how fun it is. You know, if you end up crippled or whatever, that's your choice. Like, we all make our choices. You know, not like kissing Vince's butt like Foley did, But he's no different than Jim Ross. Jim Ross could do his finishing move. Jim Ross could jump off a house and hurt himself. It's not about getting hurt. I'm more like the Bret Hart philosophy. You know, it's respect. You know, you don't hurt people. You don't punch them right in their face. You know, it's like a square in front of your face. You don't knock someone's teeth out. It's respect. They've lost a lot of respect in the business. It's going to get worse because Vince and Pat Patterson, they're into manipulating. So is that Bruce Pritchard. You know, see the thing he had with Lawler? He might have worked Lawler's territory, so there's history there. And Nash, he's got history. What would you do to a guy, human nature, what would you do to a guy that just walked out on you for $750,000 down at WCW with Ted Turner's money? You'd be happy in one respect he got in Turner's pocket because he knows they're not worth it. But he, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall walked out on Vince McMahon. He can't stand for that, right?
Probably not.
I would think so.
Tom Zank, 503-722-9000 or 888-388-1150. I want to talk to the Z-Man here on Total Chaos Radio. But Nash, when he left the WWF last time, he did do, the time-honored traditions. You know,
yeah.
He put The Undertaker pretty much over everywhere he went.
So what? Loyalty is Vince's big thing. He doesn't take kindly someone leaving. He was, he's going to judge him on, he was Oz. He was a master blaster, whatever. You know, he was nothing. Vince created him, so don't you think he owes Vince a little bit of something sooner or later?
And he'll probably mention it when he comes back to television with the WWF.
I sure hope so. I wouldn't miss the spot. It's like, hello, Vince, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a natural, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened with everybody.
Well, of course. Yeah, you see the pattern. I do, too. It's just like it's so easy to spot,
I mean, you can talk about Dusty Rhodes and the polka dots and having the Virgil for the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could still have them or bring Dusty, bring Hogan, have them fight each other or whatever. You know, you call the shots when you work for Vince. Otherwise, just go chase yourself. Stop calling me or stop getting on TV and baiting me, I mean, they're all crying for Vince's attention. He even got the governor of Minnesota. I wonder what he paid Jesse. You hear any figures on that?
Nope.
The media wants to hear that so bad here in Minnesota, how much he hooked McMahon for. I mean, McMahon, that's a pretty big sucker, right?
How is Jesse doing as far as polls go in Minnesota?
I think it's like 52-57%. It was higher, you know? Like Kennedy said, the more you screw up in that job, the higher the ratings go for you. Controversial. You know, Jesse's kind of like that, but he speaks what he really believes is the truth. He speaks his mind. He's got some good staff. You know, they're like Patterson in that respect.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
So what else is on your mind as far as 2001 goes in the year in wrestling, Tom?
Well, I certainly hope Vince looked in the mirror and realizes Bobby Costas beat him up on TV. He really kicked his butt. You know, he made wrestling a joke, but, you know, Vince, he loves a challenge. Costas put him in this place, you know? I mean...
Do you think people even remember that? I think when people are looking back on the year 2001, the people who aren't wrestling fans probably didn't pay that big of a much attention to it, and people who are not wrestling fans probably remember, you know, the failure of the XFL more than anything else.
You're probably right, but I mean,
I think you made the right point when you said, you know, Vince McMahon went from the guy who had his pulse on the of the youth of America. And now suddenly people realize he just had a lucky run.
Yeah, okay. He's still paying out XFL contracts, right?
Probably.
Lost credibility with NBC and Ebersol. I heard they called the company I worked for and wanted a chemical to get Vince McMahon's stink off their building at Rockefeller Plaza. I don't know if it's true. They had to pressure wash the whole building, okay?
I understand.
The new program, XS, that failed, right?
It is failing.
His web business laid off 40 people, right? To save him how many million, okay? Best-selling author, Mick Foley, right? He's quitting on him, right?
Yep.
Kurt Angle's biography is true, it's true, it's false. It bombed, right?
For the most part, yes.
WWF New York, it's called The World now, right? They had to change that name, right?
Yeah, they call it, yeah, I forget, but the
and
World...
And that's failing.
Yep.
Okay? The stock, it's underperforming wildly, okay? He didn't learn, he doesn't look in the mirror. I mean, come on. I mean... Standout moments, Bobby Costas put him in his place. Vince should do a lot of soul searching and hope that he has a big run, because all the tools are there in the toolbox with Benoit coming back, Triple H. He should have a heck of a run, but I mean, I can't believe he's getting worked that bad, or he's that naive, or he believed his own hype. Last year was a bad year. I hope he has better luck with even numbers, 2002.
Well, we have to wish him luck, because, I mean, he's the industry.
That's
right
it.
Now.
That's right. That's it. There is nothing else.
Right.
It's only Vince.
And so you've got to hope that somewhere, and I've racked my brain on this for a year, you know, what theme is there that can catch fire that you can portray in a wrestling context to make a compelling storyline. You know, before it was the working guy against the boss. And now that that's been done to death, they dropped the patriotic theme with Kurt Angle. They dropped that ball completely. And I'm scratching my head looking around, what's the other theme that you could use in wrestling that's going to make people empathize with what's happening in the ring?
They have to have different. They have to have a different or more diverse storyline with what they're doing. They're not in tune with their audience, okay?
Right.
The Y generation. He can look it up on the internet as I did, and he can tune into it. But, I mean... The world's his oyster. I mean, come on, he owns all the talent. He can get anyone he wants. Okay, he's got $250 million sitting around looking at him, just going, huh, Vince, are you going to spend me? Are you going to grow the business? I mean, he should have a heck of a run. He's ridden out how many down cycles in his life, right?
Right.
I mean, so he's got the $250 million, and, you know, what's Vince's option? I mean, to what? Buy some more of his stock? To enhance wrestling? I would try and broaden the base. I'd cross over generations, get the parents, like I said before, with all the talent. You know, it doesn't matter. The past is the past. It's like when he was, going to that steroid trial, they tried to get me to work there. They said, oh, the past is the past. J.J. Dillon and I talked a number of times. And everything was, no, it's not. Their memory isn't a short memory, it's a deep memory, you know? And that's what they do, manipulate, you know? But I knew the con, and I don't think they think I did.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
By the way, before we got a few more minutes here in the show, I want to mention that it was 10 years ago this month, December of 1991, that Don Owens closed down his promotion.
Yeah, that's too bad. See, I never understood why Billy Jack would ever run against a nice guy like that. Don Owens was a really nice guy, and so was Barry. You know, I mean, they had good wrestling, good values. I mean, he was a really nice promoter, and if I had to say one thing, I really screwed up by trusting Rick Martel and coming out to Montreal. I had a good time, don't get me wrong, and I hung around with some great people out there. But, yeah, I should have stayed there and polished up on my craft more in the Pacific Northwest for a couple of years. That was a good territory. It never beat me. That was fantastic times. I have great memories of the Northwest.
Did you live out at the Bomber?
No, I lived down the street. Right in Milwaukee, Oregon there, I lived right down the street from the Bomber in these apartments on the other side of the street, and we had a creek running through the apartment. It was just a beautiful place. It was cheap rent and nice people out there. That's one of my regrets, and I don't have that many, but I should have stayed there and polished up or got more confident in my career, you know what I'm saying, interviews, and it was a place to learn and grow. And I think Dynamite Kid, Kurt Hennig, myself, Billy Jack, Buddy Rose, a lot of people, Steve Pardee and Moondog Moretti speak highly of that territory. They liked it there. It was really nice. You know, that's a fond memory of mine in my wrestling career.
Yeah, I definitely, sure. You know, the old sports arena is now a church.
Oh, no, really?
Yes.
Oh, no. Who's preaching there? Sting? DiBiase? Which of the... Tully Blanchard? There's a book with 10 guys out how they were affected in their life. No.
I think
it's
Kevin Von Erich, I think.
Oh.
I don't know.
You understand what I'm saying.
I know what
yeah.
you're saying.
Anyway, the wind blows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're too afraid to work a real job, or they can't cross over into real life.
A revival is much like the carny business.
And they said I was a flake. I can't believe they had the nerve to say that. Let me face them one-on-one.
I hear
so,
you.
So, yeah, we can have a conversation some other time in your show, right?
Yeah, anytime.
I like to face all of my accusers.
Has anybody said, I mean, obviously you've made the rounds on all the shows. Has anybody ever gotten in contact with
Don't
you?
Make me sound like Missy Hyatt made the rounds. That's all I caught here. I mean, I'm losing you. Hello, hello, Jim Rome or hello?
No.
Jim Valley, I'm sorry. No one ever has. If there's a problem, I have no enemies in the wrestling business. I just will say it out front, and I can burn on myself or cut myself down worse than anyone else. I know what I am. I look in the mirror. I mean, they can say anything they want, but, you know, we can debate it. You know, any of them.
Now, you made...
I mean, they made some really foolish choices. All the guys that had some stroke didn't do anything for a union or didn't do anything to help the boys. That's what I'd like to question a lot of people on. A lot of people had Vince's ear, and they didn't do anything but take care of themselves.
Isn't that a wrestling tradition?
Of course it is, but what I'm saying is it's huge business, and the wrestlers always put it on the Turner suit. They're still working, they're still wearing suits. They're not a common man, okay? They're making six figures, and a lot of guys aren't. And a lot of families, like Vince said, that's why he bought WCW. That was all baloney, you know? It's a con. So he's faded them out with the 90-day cycles like Watts instituted, and so there's no uproaring by the shareholders. They don't know, they don't follow like you or I would. You know, he's pretty clever. No.
He's the man. So what are you, any predictions for 2002?
Well, I would say Vince is going to have a heck of a run. He'll come back, but he's got to connect. I think he's learned a lot, and I think he's had the edge taken off him. He's got to reflect like everyone else does, you know, how they want to lose weight or their New Year's resolution. You ought to think long and hard about losing $500 million in 1 year. If that's not an eye-opener, then I'm crazy. I mean, I will never earn that or make that. I mean, can you imagine in 1 year, you pissed away a lot of money.
But aren't you the president of Zanks Inc. or whatever that is? Your ink company?
No.
Oh, you're not the... What, is it Zanks Inc.?
I can't... You know, come on. We're talking about wrestling. We're not talking about my personal life and my business.
But
I'm good with that. I got a lot of stuff going on, but that's
here.
No, that's my real life. This is my fake or working life, okay?
I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. But you said you work for a family ink company, correct?
No.
Oh.
I work for a multinational company. And I'm a manager. I run a warehouse, or two warehouses, actually, and I've got about 30 employees.
Okay.
So it's pretty neat. I mean, it's different, but it's good now. I can't take bumps. I mean, you lose your prime after 35, I'm sorry to say it. I mean, and doesn't anyone recognize the seriousness of, like, Scotty Steiner pulling a bicep off the bone, or Triple H? He tore the muscle away from the bone.
Right, and that's probably due to, I mean, I'm wondering, seriously, what
Benoit,
am I...
Benoit, Austin, you see all the injuries, and, I mean, Jim Ross, don't you get it? Something's going on there.
I think that Triple H realistically probably has a couple of years left, realistically.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if in the prime of his career at 32 or however old he is,
yep.
he rips a quad... doing essentially the equivalent of a lunge in the ring, you know, he's going to be busted up here by the end of next year.
Well, yeah, it's not a good thing. You know, he wasn't genetically blessed, I would guess. I mean, if you tear, that's a major deal. I mean, look at the guys that are that huge and that strong and that powerful to be able to tear. I never tore muscle away from the bone, the attachment or the tendon. No, they pulled it away from the bone. You know how unusual that is?
Right.
Why would the fibers, the tendons be so brittle? Come on.
Mm.
You know, what, a blend of steroids, growth hormone, and maybe some insulin or whatever, metabolizers,
right.
Whatever they want to use? I mean, come on.
Now,
and there's no drug testing for a publicly owned company? Hello?
Now, I thought about this. You said you couldn't take bumps anymore. I mean, you're 42, right? You know, you
43.
Said, 43. Happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you.
You said, you know, you're keeping yourself really lean. So,
yeah.
You know, you're probably still in really good shape. You've been on the sidelines for the past couple of years. You've got guys who have been in the ring wars who are much older than you still doing it.
Yeah.
You could probably take a couple of bumps, couldn't you?
Oh, sure, I could take bumps. But what I'm saying is, I mean, I figured my prime would be from 18 to 36. And I was blessed, and I was glad I did what I did. I don't have any regrets, and I'm not bitter. The point being is, it's a young man's business. And Vince has to know that. He's been in it all his life, a family business. I haven't. I've only, you know, was in it, what, 10, 15 years, whatever. So he ought to know by now he's got to have a stronger mid-card ready to elevate at all times in case someone walks out on him. You know, if he didn't learn that, he should have learned it from Nash and Hall because they were left in a heck of a bind when they, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And they were taken away. Not, there's no loyalty. He didn't get respect. They didn't respect him, obviously. So I would think they're going to pay, you know, he's going to pay them back. Can only be bad. I mean, you know, that's the way it always ends up. There's a pattern there. But I don't know. This year's going to be a lot of fun. I'm entertained by watching it. I like what's going on so far.
You got a good point. All right, Tom, is there anything you want to touch on before we let you go and say Happy New Year?
Well, I'd like to touch on that Stephanie McMahon, you know, that 9/11. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was horrible.
But one thing I really learned, that lack of class must run in the bloodlines, huh? Don't you think?
And why did no one stop her from saying that?
I don't... Well, that's the whole point. You know, this is the punchline of the whole year. She tries to identify with the terrorist attacks, right? And likening her father's indictment that was handed down by a grand jury, the worst attack ever on America. And she's likening her father's trouble. Talk about self-centered and showing no class. I mean, it's embarrassing even to mention it. I mean, you got to be really careful and consider the topic. It's like, how would you dare touch on that? And no one, they cut it out, though, from what I understand, on the next show or for another show. But what does that tell you?
It's just, it was just a stupid idea. I can't believe that somebody had to have been there producing the segment. You know, whether it wasn't Bruce Prichard or somebody who was there, something needs to happen.
Yeah, but we're talking about a fully grown, college-educated woman with breast augmentation, right?
I understand.
In a phony business, and she's that much of a mark. You know, what color is the sky in their world? It really makes me stop and think, you know? So 2002, there's going to be a lot of changes. You know, they're going to rewrite it in a monopoly. You know, if the guys sign with any of the other federations, they're only kidding themselves because they're getting older. It's a young man's business. They ought to sign with Vince while they can because they want publicity. They're all suckers for it. That's what I have to say.
All right, Tom, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you in the new year. Have a safe and a happy holiday.
One more thing. You ever talk to Don Koss or Barry Owens or Don Owens? What's going on with those guys?
Ah, they're just living their life. Don Koss manages some radio stations.
Yeah, two radio stations, he told me, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Barry and Don are just down on the ranch, from what I understand.
Well, gosh, you know, gee, I'm not dead yet. I like to drink beer, Tommy.
Old Don. What a great guy, Don Owens. All right, thanks a lot, Jim Valley. You have a nice New Year.
You have a happy New Year, Tom Zank. We'll talk to you in 2002.
Thank you. Say hi to all your listeners.
We will do. There's Tom Zank, everybody. The Zed Man. You have yourself a very happy New Year, and we will talk to you in 2002. Here on Total Chaos Radio on KGUI, Milwaukee, Portland. It's 10:10 a.m. See ya!
So there you have it. 2001 interview with Tom Zank. That is a vintage interview. I don't believe anybody's heard that interview since it originally aired on December 9th, 2001. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like going back in time and hearing vintage pro wrestling radio, we've got a lot of it on the VIP website. So you might want to go VIP, pwtorch.com/govip to sign up, and you can get instant access to well over 100 vintage radio shows from the early 90s through the Attitude Era. So go check that out if you enjoyed this interview. You can dive in and catch up on a lot of vintage interviews and the caller format and journalist roundtable discussions on hot topics in pro wrestling. A lot of good stuff. Check it out, including more editions of Total Chaos Radio, Pro Wrestling Focus that I hosted on KFAN, and Pro Wrestling Spotlight with John Arezzi out of New York. That'll do it for today's edition of the PW Torch Livecast. Tomorrow, Andrew Socek joins Mike McMahon for the post-GFW Impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast. And then Saturday, it's the Deep Dive with Rich Fan with the top five SmackDown matches of all time. You can join in the conversation with an email, pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. If you want to chime in on who you think, which matches you think should be in consideration for the top five, make your case. Make your case. So send it to pwtdive@gmail.com. List your top five and why. Also, you can call the show live. You can call on Saturday over at pwtorchlivecast.com. And at 6 Eastern, join Rich Fan for the live show. Otherwise, you can listen on demand after the fact. The one rule is you don't get to repeat wrestlers. So if there's a Shawn Michaels match you want, that's it. And then you have to move to somebody else. If there's a John Cena match that you want in that mix, you get to pick one, and then the other four matches cannot include John Cena. That's the only rule. So I hope you can participate in that. And then Sunday night, it is Wrestling Night in America. Pat McNeil and Greg Parks host the post-SummerSlam edition of the PW Torch Livecast. You'll want to be there live as soon as SummerSlam goes off the air. It'll be Pat and Greg on the air taking your phone calls and reacting to the program. And, of course, on the VIP side of things, I'll be hosting simultaneously the VIP roundtable with Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin. And we'll do an hour or so of in-depth analysis available that night exclusively for VIP members. If you missed yesterday's Best of PW Torch Livecast edition, you want to check it out. We've got a retro SummerSlam PW Torch Livecast featuring the James Caldwell Greg Parks post-2013 SummerSlam livecast. So check that out. It's kind of cool to go back in the time machine 4 years and hear what James and Greg were saying the night of SummerSlam 4 years ago. And Michael Grocki and company had this week's MMA talk for pro wrestling fans. He was joined by Robert Vileos and Sean Ennis. And you can check that out and hear their latest discussions on Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, the Chris Cyborg Becky Lynch Twitter battle, what's up with that, and the Ronda Rousey WWE situation, what her role might be at next year's WrestleMania, and they even talk a little SummerSlam and give their predictions on the card. So some pro wrestling talk among MMA fans to go along with your dose of MMA talk for pro wrestling fans. That's Michael Grocki and company on Monday's program. Check it out. It is right here at PW Torch Livecast on our RSS feed. Wherever there are podcasts, there is a PW Torch Livecast. Just search PW Torch to subscribe if you're not already, or you can always stream them from our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. That is it for today's Wrestling Road Stories. If you're in the mood for more of Jim Valley, go into the archives at pwtorchlivecast.com or scroll down the podcast feed, and you can hear Tony Schiavone, Wildfire Tommy Rich, and Brennan Martin telling stories about his grandmother, Christine Jarrett, from his book, Teeny, Professional Wrestling's Grand Dame, the Christine Jarrett Story. So check that out over at pwtorchlivecast.com. Thanks, everybody. If you get a chance, give us a 5-star rating in iTunes and leave some kind words about what you like best about the PW Torch Livecast. That helps this show get into the iTunes rankings. That kind of social media / user comments and ratings helps move this show up in the rankings. So do your part if you enjoy the show here, and go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. That'll do it for me. Thanks, everybody. And on behalf of Jim Valley, Wade Keller signing off. Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a hand-picked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great, diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word, and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah.